From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Kavitha George with this local and statewide news update. Unpredictable weather events can make a daily commute a real headache. Unfortunately, that's becoming more common in Alaska as the climate warms. It's something the state's Department of Transportation is trying to adapt to. Elizabeth Jenkins from Alaska's Energy Desk wondered how the agency has altered its winter game plan.
Brad Davis has been at the Anchorage Department of Transportation garage since the crack of dawn. He's living every four-year-old's fantasy, getting to sit behind the steering wheel of a big truck.
It is fun to drive. There's a lot going on.
It's almost like a command panel or something, like in a spaceship.
Yep. And then we've got this also, this joystick would control.
Inside, there's an intimidating array of buttons, switches, and knobs. One deploys a watery solution on the road called salt brine, which works like a cure for slippery pavement. It's a relatively new tool in the toolkit for DOT in Anchorage. The department has been using it for about 3 years. Before, they relied on a mixture of sand. And to assume this is a simple operation would be wrong. The trucks in some roads are outfitted with a sophisticated network of sensors that can detect the temperature of the asphalt. This tells the drivers the ideal time to dispense the salt brine.
These guys can be always busy depending on a storm event.
That's Tom Gurman, the superintendent of the Department of Transportation in Anchorage. He started at DOT more than a decade ago and says this refined strategy to combat ice wasn't around then. Gurman begins his day with a cup of coffee and an email notification of those temperature readings.
I can recall a time we would have maybe one good freezing rain event a winter. And then several winters ago, those were really prevalent.
So at the Department of Transportation, over the past few years, we've definitely noticed a shift in climate.
Meadow Bailey is an Alaska Department of Transportation spokesperson. And she says the agency has been forced to switch up the way it maintains its roads. Climate change has made it harder and more expensive to keep up. There's the freezing rain, of course, but there have been other issues, like damage to roads built on thawing permafrost and events the department couldn't have anticipated. In 2015, the Dalton Highway flooded due to an extreme weather event. That limited access to the North Slope for weeks.
Totally unique scenario nobody had ever heard of or thought of or could plan for.
Keep in mind, this is all happening at a time when the state's Department of Transportation has seen drastic budget cuts. Dan Shocker, the superintendent in Fairbanks, recalls a time when his department spent $750,000 more than normal.
We had five consecutive months during the winter that we had measurable rain in Fairbanks, which is unheard of. So it's continuing to become more and more of a regular occurrence for us, and that's something that we are changing our methods to respond to.
The Fairbanks DOT was the pilot project for the salt brine trucks, which Anchorage has now adopted. It's part of a list of efficiencies the department has incorporated, including the high-tech temperature gauges. Shocker admits the brine solution wasn't popular initially with some drivers, who were worried about it corroding their cars. But it's a common treatment in the lower 48. Alaska commuters can't count on the winters of the past anymore.
I think looking back, it's been good for us to go through some of the difficulties we have because it made us re-examine some of our processes and things that have been done the same way for 20, 30 years.
As for this winter, climatologists expect warm, wet conditions which can refreeze into ice. The Department of Transportation will likely stay busy. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins reporting in Anchorage.
The city of Fairbanks has retained two lower 48 law firms to advise on how to sue manufacturers of chemical compounds that have contaminated groundwater in several areas around the city. The officials hope to recover nearly $4 million the city has spent over the last 3 years to deal with the contamination caused by the compounds contained in a type of firefighting foam. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Mayor Jim Matherly says city officials hired the two law firms to help them develop a strategy on how the city can build a case that the companies found liable for the contamination should compensate the city for the cost of dealing with it.
They're going to take a look at our case, take a look at the foam issue and the contamination issue, They'll talk to us, talk to our legal department.
Matherly says City Attorney Paul Ewers recommended hiring San Francisco-based SL Environmental Law Group and New York-based Kennedy and Madonna because they're experienced in litigating contamination cases. A city spokesperson says the two firms took the case on a contingency fee basis, so they'd only get paid if they win the case and recover damages. The mayor says the lawsuit would target the 3M company, the Minnesota-based firm that manufactures the compounds known by the acronym PFAS. It's used in, among other things, the fire-suppressing foam that firefighters have for years used in training.
The city was using that foam for about 20 years, between 1985 and around 2005. Now what we use a combination of some water, of course, for training, and then we have another foam that we use that has been approved by the DEC.
The move towards suing the manufacturer is good news, says Dave Berry. He lives in one of the neighborhoods where the city has found PFAS groundwater contamination, but he and others say they wonder what took the city so long to act.
This is something we asked that they joined in a year and a half before that, I believe, and they turned a cold shoulder toward us.
Berry says he and other affected residents think the city hasn't focused enough attention on the problem and hasn't adequately helped them, especially those suffering from health problems they believe were caused by the contamination. And he says they'd like to be more involved with the city's efforts to recover damages from the manufacturer.
They really need to look at who they've damaged in this negligence and work with us to go after the chemical companies.
The nearly $4 million the city's paid so far was used to clean up sites and to cover the costs of connecting 44 properties in areas that rely on wells to the local water utility system. It's also paid $2,500 stipends to those property owners to help them offset their water payments. Matherly says he's not sure, but he thinks Fairbanks is the first city in Alaska to pursue litigation in response to PFAS groundwater contamination. It's turned up here more than any other city in the state, at least so far, and the mayor says city officials are asking the state for more help.
I talked to, the Attorney General about this. I told Governor Walker about this. It's in our legislative priorities, too, to give to the Interior Delegation that we want the state to take a good hard look at this statewide, because we're not the only city using this. It's all across the nation.
A recent study by the Environmental Working Group and the Social Science Environmental Health Research Institute at Northeastern University says PFAS pollution has been reported at 94 sites in 22 states. The study says PFAS has shown up in the tap water of some 16 million people in 33 states and Puerto Rico. Other estimates say up to 110 million Americans may have it in their drinking water. The chemicals have been linked to kidney and testicular cancers, low birth weight, thyroid disease, and pregnancy-induced hypertension. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
Some Alaskans are helping with the California wildfire response. Alaska Division of Forestry spokesman Tim Mowry says the state is one of several being tapped for assistance through the National Interagency Coordination Center.
With the activity they got going down there, those fires and the severity of them, there is a shortage of resources, so they have had to reach out to other areas.
Mowry says Alaska firefighting crews disband for the winter, but some fire management professionals are available to fill a variety of response jobs in California.
So mostly it's management and overhead, safety officers, field observers, division supervisors. There was an order for a public information officer the other day. But mainly it's management and supervisory positions.
He says the assignments are for 2 weeks, but can be extended an additional week.
Given the situation in California and the volatility of these fires and the fuels down there, who knows? Who knows how long these events are going to go on?
Mowry says the extreme situation in California is hard to comprehend in a sparsely populated state like Alaska.
How, they can be evacuating, half the state of Alaska, essentially. So anything we can do to help them, we're going to do.
44 are known dead in wind-driven wildfires in northern and southern California. Hundreds more are missing, and thousands of homes and businesses have been destroyed. Expect rain tonight and tomorrow, Wednesday high near 43 degrees.